Your employees are bored, they are lonely, they are stressed. What are you doing about it? Today on the Twig Show, how can I increase employee engagement virtually? Welcome to the Twitch Show, a weekly interview series from Technically focused on building better workplaces. I'm Technically CEO and your host, Chris Wink. Over the last decade, the number of employees working remotely has doubled. And that pandemic means that more than two-thirds of all Americans were working from home at one point. Whether this brings productivity gains or losses is going to be up to you. Today, we're talking about what's at stake and specific tactics and strategies for engaging employees remotely. To do that, I have two guests. I'm joined by Badri Rajashekar. He's a founder and CEO of Jam. That's a video collaboration for the workplace startup. I also have Grant. What's up, Badri? I also have Grant Neckerman. He's the vice president of talent acquisition at SciApps, a 170-person oncology real-world evidence company. They're both distributed firms. They both are very remote right now. So Grant, Badri, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Of course. So, all right, let's start off. Why do we even care about engaging employees? Shouldn't they just be doing their damn work? Why is this any talent professional or CEO's responsibility? Why do we care?
Yeah, well, if you're one of my talent competitors, please, by all means, don't. We'd love to recruit your employees and have them at SciApps. But I think we all know that the reality is that for those of us like myself who's worked from home for all 15 years of my career to date, it's a distinctly different challenge to engage remote employees. But in a world where we don't have water coolers, we don't have those interactions. For me, I don't have the business travel that I'm used to. I never thought I'd miss it quite as much as I do in getting a chance to see my coworkers face to face and tell bad jokes and generally enjoy our time in the office. It's just more important than ever that we really think about how we create community in our workplaces that make people feel like they've got a kind of like a safe, stable home, right?
And just to add to that, I think the new reality is also we've been sort of untethered, not just from our desks and our offices, we've also been untethered from our calendars, right? And to some degree, there's all this sort of flexible workplace dynamics that's happening in a way where loneliness is sort of a huge problem and people are feeling left out and social isolation is a real thing in remote and distributed teams. So I think it's increasingly important to sort of focus on that trust and camaraderie. And like Grant said, those water cooler conversations and that playful banter, I think it's all the more important to do that now than ever before.
So, all right, let's dive into some of these assumptions that I have to think you guys are taking into your experiences with your own direct reports, or you would advise that fellow CEO or that people ops, member of yours. What do you have to have in the back of your mind when you're getting on a virtual one-on-one with an employee or a coworker that is different than if you were having that water cooler conversation or that meeting in a conference room? What do you have to keep in mind about engagement in the most basic level that's different remotely than otherwise?
I can maybe add my perspective over there. I think it's like super important, firstly, to sort of culturally understand that productivity is sort of an emergent side effect of trust and camaraderie. As I always say, we mostly focus on productivity, but really what you should be focused on is sort of trust and camaraderie. And so specifically in one-on-one conversations, one of the things we've seen that happens pretty effectively is one, having these structured one-on-one conversations where, you have some sort of structure to have these conversations, but also sort of getting into the habit of having these ad hoc, much more informal sort of check-ins so that it doesn't feel like you're always having this formal one-on-one sort of meeting with your manager, but it's sort of coupled with much more sort of ad hoc micro interactions on a periodic basis with most of your team.
Yeah, I would just add that as we think about what's changed for most people, what's different is that I think Badri said it well when they've kind of lost a little bit of grounding that comes with that that office conversation and a little bit of the social just fabric that creates that workplace environment. And so I know that I've made a point when interacting with people, especially who are newly remote, that we just spend more time shooting the breeze. And I know that seems really squishy, but I think there's something to just making the time, even with a hectic schedule, to spend 5 or 10 minutes talking about the weather, the kids, the dogs, whatever it is that kind of brings that person completely to work, that we're just spending time doing that, building those relationships, and encouraging all of our people to do that across the organization. And yeah, we've all got work to do, and we've got a lot on our plates, but I think it's more important than ever that we realize that in a lot of ways, work is like still kind of the one normal for a lot of people. And even if it's from a remote office, that I think we can bring a lot of that, but also have to kind of give people something to anchor in. And so it's a good opportunity.
Yeah, I like that, Grant. It's like not new, of course. We've had millions of Americans working remotely, yourself included, for years. But like, it's just the sheer severity and comprehension of it is what is different in this moment. And mm-hmm. I think I'm thinking so much about virtual experiences are good at efficiency. You can have a 15-minute meeting in a virtual environment that just like it would be socially rude to almost to have done that in person. And there's like social norms that like you just can't do when you're in person that you can virtually. Like you can just hop on a virtual call and you can just like let's do it blah blah blah, blah and go in a way that's almost rude by some social standards. And that's great, actually, if you lean in for the right reasons at the right times to say we can get productivity gains by being focused. But I think you're getting at when every interaction is ruthlessly efficient, you can lose a lot of the humanity that you were taking for granted that took place in the elevator or even at the like, even if you were an all remote team, when you at least like went to your retreat, but now yeah. The retreats are gone now. So we're not even having those experiences. I think.
Yeah, but let's even think about it from the cold hearted business productivity standpoint, right? Like, let's think about it. If we come at it from that perspective, we're, we want to create these incredible experiences and we want our people happy and productive and we want them to come to work and enjoy it. But if they're not happy, if they're not socially engaged, if they're not still feeling part of the cultural fabric of the workplace, they're not going to be productive. And so I think that's part of where this happens to be where the right thing to do and the best thing to do happen to align really well. And we've got a great opportunity here to continue to express our humanity in the workplace, but also ultimately to still be engaging in business, because happy and productive and engaged employees are going to do better work for all of us as well. So, I mean, I think they run hand in hand.
But Badri, I actually want to turn to you because obviously the work you're doing is your company itself is aimed to be part of a productivity effort, or at least my read of it. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's more about sort of building that social fabric, which we just spoke about in terms of trust and camaraderie. And it's a question of, I think Grant alluded to this a little bit, in terms of meetings and conferencing by their very virtue are much more formal and scheduled, right? Like, you know, there's some notion of productivity and efficiency in a meeting. But oftentimes you want to create these opportunities to have these spontaneous collaborative moments or just like hanging out or just having these sort of very casual micro interactions. And so what we wanted to do is we got tired of sort of switching back and forth between Slack and Zoom. We wanted to create this video experience that creates a much more human-centric interaction among teams to foster precisely these not necessarily sort of productivity focused, but much more social and culture focused conversations in the workplace.
Mm. So then let's maybe turn to some what you can do stuff. And Badri, I might stay with you for a minute, talk a little bit about, yeah, I'd love to see Jam almost as an example, but I know we can also widen and say, what are 1,000 different ways that we are seeing or trying or doing different employee engagement? So Badri, why the heck does your company exist, I suppose, is one of the core questions. But I also want to turn, assuming that you occasionally do employee engagement outside of your own universe, I want to also talk about specific things we're doing. So what the heck is Jam doing? What does it do for employee engagement? And what else are you doing to keep employees engaged?
Right. And let me start out the Jam portion, right? Again, Jam is sort of a very video first application that lets you have these, like, you know, a couple of minute conversations as if you were swiveling around. If you were all physically located in a desk, I would just swivel around and talk to my, like, you know, person sitting next to me. We'd have jokes, we'd have banter, like, you know, you'd have all these casual conversations that's sort of missing in the workplace, because you're not going to schedule a meeting and jump into something, into a meeting just to ask somebody, how are you doing, or how's your day going? And so we wanted to create something that was super lightweight, that almost sort of simulates the social presence of all, having all of your coworkers around, with the ability for you to be able to quickly sort of have these micro conversations, right? Talk to them for a couple of minutes. Hey, you know, how's the day going? Whatever. Just have the social banter. And I think there's a huge white space for that, because for way too long, we've been just focused on sort of productivity and sort of tracking time and efficiency that way. But I think the entire reality of the modern workplace has sort of blown everything, turned it around on its head. And it becomes increasingly more important for you to be able to translate that culture of your company, that energy of being able to do new projects and all of that sort of social elements and the human elements of team culture across a remote and distributed team, primarily, right? But we've seen all kinds of very interesting things happening. For instance, this might not be applicable in all teams, but in some teams, we don't have like a social happy hour, right? Like, you know, Friday evening for somebody could be like Saturday morning, so you can't get together and have a beer if you have like a globally remote and distributed team. And so right. Even sort of rethought our concept of what does it mean to have like a happy hour, right? Because it's not going to be the same time for everybody. But how do you get people together and create those very similar experiences? Can we get together and sort of play casual games as a mechanism to socially bond? We found that having these sort of, you know, very simple sort of social gaming, Scrabble kind of sessions within the teams, even though it's sort of fun and trivial, have like a huge impact on culture, right? And something even as simple as we've seen teams which say no Zoom backgrounds, right? They literally want, you know, they want to humanize that experience. It's okay if you're up and it's okay if your dogs are jumping in the background, right? I think there's a lot of little things. And again, I would stress that people be focused less on productivity, because that's what systems are designed to do, and be more focused on sort of the human element of creating that camaraderie and that fabric of trust within teams.
That's kind of interesting. Grant, I want to turn to you and have your own examples, but I want to pull out, I like that note of in the in-person office environment, everything we were working on was about almost adding to productivity. And in a fully remote environment, when we are surrounded by software tools that are built and optimized for efficiency, maybe now the thinking is to get switched a bit of how do I turn off some of the productivity, because otherwise my humans will burn out. That seems interesting.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting point, and it follows a theme that I was thinking on, which we've spent a lot of time here already this morning talking about how we engage employees from a getting them to connect and build social fabric. But I think probably the bigger topic, at least an equal topic to that's adjacent to this, is just employee wellness and making sure our employees are well and in a good headspace and feeling supported and loved and cared for, and all of those. Whenever I think about employee engagement, I think my mind actually goes there first before it goes to the how do we build camaraderie. And look, that's super important. And
they relate.
We can share some fun examples on what we've done there. We've certainly done the happy hours, and PsyOps Bingo was a big hit. Some other similar things. But when I think about where do you really start? Like, when do you, if I'm building an employee engagement program from day one in a newly remote company, the first thing I'm thinking about is my employees' mental well-being, their health, their fitness, their personal, I'll keep saying it, their personal well-being, and how they're thriving in their new environment. And so for us, that's meant a lot of different things, like adding to our wellness plan and our benefits package, which is like just a very straightforward, buy we made for our employees to make sure that they had, the tools and tactics they needed to be successful in this new world, to not changing, but adding to the way that we did PTO. I mean, just a straightforward example, we were seeing that like vacation requests were plummeting. Where were you going to go? And one of the consistent pieces of feedback we were hearing was, well, it's, we know no one's going on vacation. We know no one's getting on an airplane. And so there's pressure because all the rest of the team is working to keep working. And so we instituted Recharge Fridays, which was about every other Friday. We just close the office. And that way the whole team stops working at once and kind of gives everybody the permission mentally to just check out and take a 3-day weekend. Actually, today's my Friday. I'm headed into the long Labor Day weekend and we're off Friday and then obviously on the Labor Day holiday as well. So just again, really focused on getting people the headspace they need to be well in the new times.
Grant, can you just maybe zoom in for any of those? I would love specifics. What is the wellness? What are some of those specific wellness? I think Nerdy Notes welcome. What are some of the specifics that you've seen or you like?
So, I mean, yeah, if we want to really, I mean, just some of like the specific things we've done, we've implemented, you know, we've brought in company-wide yoga. We've brought in some mindfulness training. Our new benefits package includes things like, you know, mental health counseling. It includes physical therapy. It includes some other little, I'll call them bells and whistles, forgive me, but I think just some other things that are really helpful when people are going through a really stressful, substantial time. But I think it's important here to say that, you know, SciApps's experience isn't necessarily another company's experience. And the best piece of advice, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but if we're talking about, you know, what can you do today as a company to help your employees be well, the first thing I do is ask them, what do they need? Where are they struggling? And as we move to a fully remote workplace and we move away from being able to see those stressors and feel those stressors with people, I think it's super important that we ask and we measure. And I will be the first person to say that I'm not the world's most data-driven person. I think of myself as a people person first, but using an employee engagement survey, with a shout out to CultureAmp, they're amazing. They're who we use, but even if it's just a Google Sheet or a Google form, to reach out and ask people, how are you doing? What do you need? And how can we help? Working on that is just incredibly important. So I would say the best thing they can do is ask.
Mm. Like that, Badri, then I mean, Grant has done exactly what I needed to do, and that's turned to this like, what the heck do we do now? So if you could maybe bring that together, Badri, what if you were giving advice to someone else who said, what the hell do I do? How do I start this concept of engaging employees better?
Right. I would almost say, you know, like, start with a lot of like ability to create like these social interactions and sort of ad hoc conversations. But I think more importantly, this is kind of a nerdy point, maybe if I might elaborate. I think the same, very similar to what
Grant. If you haven't picked up that this is a nerdy show, then you haven't been paying
attention. Like very similar to what Grant said, right? Like if you think about employee health and wellness, and in terms of stress, at least what we have found is one of the primary reasons of stress in the remote work is the fact that everybody has got like crazy schedules, right? You've got kids at home. Now people are dealing with a lot of things outside of just work at this time. And so there's a lot of like schedule chaos. And so the one piece of advice I would say is to leaders of companies is to almost think of like, you know, making your workflows, making your process, meetings, whatever it might be, make your workflows schedule agnostic as schedule agnostic as possible. And what that means is sort of adopting asynchronous workflows so that people can sort of not be expected to be available at the same time. They can go do their thing, but you still have the processes and business practices in place to sort of tie everything together. And that's the single biggest thing I think you could do to sort of make your employees feel sort of less stressed out, especially now, right, with all the schedule chaos.
Yeah, that's a slow clap for that. I think we've got to think about this world as so much change is going on. Like flexibility is such a key. Just moving as we move employees out of the physical box of an office, I think we also have to move them out of the box of let's be honest, in tech 8 to 5 is kind of a non-issue thing anyway, but really thinking about work as something that needs to get done, not something that is done in a certain amount of time. And so I think one of the biggest things, and I'll give SciApps props here, that I think we've been this way since I got here 4.5 years ago, is that what ultimately matters is that your job gets done, not when it gets done. And more than ever with parents teaching, you know, parents now being K-12 teachers and daycare providers and everything else that's going on, like more and more important than ever, like just starting, if you're a manager, I think the best tactic is to put yourself in the headspace of what matters is that the work gets done. What does not matter is when it gets done. with a few obvious exceptions.
Occasional deadline.
There are a few things that are, you know, that do have to happen in normal work hours, client interactions and things like that. But I think by and large, if you look at the bulk of our work as knowledge workers, it happens in a world where 8 to 5 is a really false construct. And so I think just really getting serious about understanding what your employees are responsible for delivering, being clear about that, but also being clear about the fact that that I will say, I do not care when it gets done. I care that it gets done. And that's what is ultimately important.
That sounds like a good way to go out. This has been the Twitch Show. Thanks so much for being here. Thank you, Grant. Thank you, Badre. As always, each week we'll have conversations on building better workplaces. Make sure to like and subscribe. Our animations are by Matt Menegrassi. Thanks again to Grant and Badre. We will make sure to see you guys. See you next time.